75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well, ready for another day of some sports talk action here on the show. We got some interesting stuff to dive into, Chase, here on the show, man. There's been some very interesting developments regarding college football and some major changes that could be coming very soon. We'll talk about that here on the show. I got a clip or two that we'll play just to kind of help kind of set the table, plus some articles that we'll pull up and that we'll read and let you guys respond. So I definitely want to get y'all's thoughts on this because it's something we've talked about, I feel like, you know, throughout the past several months, things that are definitely possibilities. But it seems, Chase, that we're getting closer and closer to these possibilities becoming realities. So now that we're kind of having a little bit more of a direction on where things could go, I want to bring it back up and discuss it. And definitely get your thoughts on that. How can you do that? Well, 205-342-9904 is number two. The phone lines, we'd love to get y'all's thoughts. If you guys want to call in, you always can come hang out with us on any of our streams. We do stream on multiple platforms. If you guys prefer to watch the show, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, of course, at the Miller's Edge on our X page, and also on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as well. Chase, saying X page just sounds a little weird, man. Maybe we just need to stick with Twitter, even though that's not the name. Our X account. That sounds a little bit better, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, come hang out with us there. You can leave your questions, comments, and concerns right there in the chat, and we'll read them, discuss them, and talk about them here on the show. Plus, I think we're pretty open, man. Unless my dad jumps here, I guess, on the show at some point, man. I think we'll be wide open. So if you guys want to get in on the conversation, man, go ahead and line it up, and we'll make sure we get those phone calls early. But going ahead and jumping right into this, Chase, which I'll throw you down here because we got your camera going as well, man. Everybody say what's up to my guy, Chase, behind the glass. Playoffs, man. College football playoffs. It seems like it's been like an ever-long conversation since they've expanded just to 12 teams just a couple short years ago. I mean, we haven't really even had this 12-team playoff system for more than, what, is it 2 years now, I would say, right? 2024, 2025, just two seasons. 2023, Coach Saban's last year was, in fact, the final year of the four-team playoff where Alabama made a trip out to the Rose Bowl, faced Michigan, fell short there. Michigan went on to defeat Coach DeBoer's Washington team in the national championship game. Again, that was the final time that we did see a four-team playoff. And I had the luxury, Chase, of playing in the first ever four-team playoff back in 2014. Remember, there was 2013, you had the BCS. That was the final year. Then 2014, we played Ohio State in the first ever four-team playoff. And we unfortunately did not win that game. We went down to the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. Was definitely a very interesting game, if you guys remember that one. And that team that we played in Ohio State was loaded. They just were a little bit too much to, overcome. Man, I want to say we went into halftime in a decent spot. Then we came out in the second half and things just kind of started going downhill. Anyway, that said, we went through that era, which 2014 to about, I guess, 2023, roughly 10 years or so. Now we're only 2 years in this 12-team playoff. I say all that to say the 12-team playoff era might be even shorter, much shorter. Not even might, Chase. It's going to be much shorter. We've started hearing some noise coming out from, I guess it was like the coaches conference or whatever it's called. I'll get all the details pulled up here in a second. But sounds like the coaches are starting to come together and, I guess, be in agreeance on the next step that they want to see taken with the college football playoffs regarding an expansion. But here's the kicker, Chase. Not only is it an expansion to the college football playoffs, but some more of these details are pretty surprising and eye-opening in terms of some other things that might end up being byproducts of this new system, which I'll be honest, a couple of the things I'm seeing coming out, I can be on board with. A couple of the other things I've seen, not a big fan of, to be honest with you. So we're going to dive into this because it's definitely very interesting. I got a video of some folks talking about it a little bit. I'll read it, but I don't want to put you guys to sleep, reading things while you're, on your lunch break or whatever you guys are doing right now. So we'll hear a video and we'll talk about this. But first, We'll talk about a couple other things that have been coming up. Again, the offseason is in full effect. Recruiting is really big right now. A lot of people on the road. I told you guys I do have plans on getting some of my teammates on here throughout the offseason. Definitely still working on that. Might hear from a guy that played defensive line here, still currently playing, not in the NFL, different league right now, but I know I need to circle back with him and see what day we can get him on here. Then I did talk to O.J. Howard, former Alabama tight end. He's on the road, busy recruiting right now, but he does plan on jumping on here when things slow down for him. So this offseason, we'll make sure we work on getting a number of former guys on here for those interviews that you guys really enjoy. So make sure you guys stay on the lookout for those. And speaking of guys coming on here for interviews, last week we had one with former Alabama offensive tackle Wilkin Formby, Tuscaloosa native. He came on the show last Friday to discuss some really big news, and that news being he's got a big event coming up this Friday, matter of fact, in a couple of days, right? And it's going to be here in Northport, and he's giving back to the community, free food, a lot of games going on. It's basically like a block party type deal. It's going to be really fun. But he came on the show to discuss that, discuss his faith, because that's one of the big things driving this whole event that he's putting on. He wants to give back to the community, share his testimony. There'll be others in attendance. They're definitely going to be doing some good worship things going on over in Northport. So make sure you guys, if you're looking for something this Friday, if you got kids, you've got family, you want an event to attend where you can, you know, hear the word of God, hear some awesome testimonies from some guys that are from the community that want to give back, like Wilkin himself. Make sure you guys go check that out. I'm even hearing, Chase, they might have like snow cones slash like cotton candy type stuff. I mean, this is going to be like a fun day. And it starts at 6 p.m. I should say evening. It starts at 6 p.m. this Friday over in Northport. And I'll get you guys some more of those details as I pull them up here. But I'll be honest, Chase, cotton candy, that's all you got to tell me. And normally I'm pretty much I'm giving it a go. Now, I know I sound like a big kid saying that, but growing up, man, I was a big cotton candy guy. I don't know what it was. It's literally just like sugary air, kind of. I mean, it's not even really anything. You a big cotton candy guy, Chase? And that's kind of weird saying, but...
No, not at all. That's not weird. That's childhood memories right there. I love me some good cotton candy, especially at the fairs.
Yeah, man. And so here are the details. May 8th, 6 p.m. is Wilkin Formby and friends. Again, they're putting it together with Scotty Hollins, who does a lot of good work, chaplain work with the football team here in Tuscaloosa. Free food, they got games, family friendly, big old community event over in Northport, 3500 West Circle in Northport again this Friday at 6. But we had Wilkin on the show. And a matter of fact, I'm gonna cut out that interview and I'm gonna post it separately because I do know, man, he had a lot of powerful stuff, man. You can just hear how wise he is, how mature he is, and just how impressive he is as a young man wanting to give back. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's probably, 21 years old. And, you know, he's obviously in a great position right now. NIL is a thing. And these guys are able to, you know, definitely be compensated. But, you know, one of his main focuses really is giving back to the community, to the kids, and then sharing his testimony and his faith, which is really awesome stuff. So I'll post that if you guys missed it last Friday. But make sure if you are around this Friday, 6 p.m., go check those guys out over there. Let's do this, Chase. Let's go ahead and hit our first time out. When we come back, we'll dive into this conversation again. Some major changes coming up real soon to college football, right? So things might get shuffled around, shaken up a little bit. Is that a good thing? Bad thing? Kind of just in the middle. We'll talk about that. I'll let you guys decide. First, we'll let you guys know exactly what those changes are. Then we'll give you the opportunity to do that right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick time out. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. All right, let's dive into this main topic at hand today, Chase. All right, we're talking about some major, oh, whoa, did you guys, hold on, man. I mean, you guys can't do that, man. Back with the transracial thing again, man. We had Chase just a second ago. I had the ads on the screen. Then I come back, and now we got Reed, man. You guys just swapped on me real quick, man. I had no idea. And so I just seen the...
here he is.
The complexion change. Okay, there we go. All right, there we go. Now we got Chase and Reed. They're in a tag team match behind the glass back there. All right. So main topic at hand, guys, that we have on schedule for today. College football playoff changes incoming. And not just any changes, Reed. I mean, some major changes that are coming. More than likely. Now, again, this is not official, but I feel like we're just inching closer and closer. And this most recent, I guess, update is coming out of the AFCA, right, which is, I guess, consists of all the football coaches, right, the American Football Coaches Association. They're expected to release their decision to support, get this, a 24-team playoff and the elimination of league title games, right? So not only, that's why I said major changes, not just to the, I guess, college football playoff, right, in the expansion piece, but to really college football in general, because they also are throwing in there the elimination of league title games. Again, we heard from Greg Byrne, a couple weeks ago? He shared his thoughts on this, not necessarily saying he wanted to get rid of title games, but more so it seemed like that ship had already sailed. And you could tell the writing was kind of on the wall. I was hoping that wasn't the case. I was hoping that it was more so just people just throwing out ideas. But the more you heard from various people in the sport, whether it's AD, coaches, whoever, you could just tell we were trending in this direction, which I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm not a fan of it, Reed. I'm not a fan of it. You guys heard me. I talked about it. Look, I got the rings on my desk here. Like half of the rings in that box came from SEC championships, right? I was here 5 years, won 4 SEC championships while I was here. And that was always a great deal. When you walk through Mount Moore, they don't only display the number of national titles that Alabama has won. There's, you know, buku SEC championship trophies and memorabilia all throughout the place, right? Even the number of them in the indoor across from the number of national championships won. So, again, I mean, Alabama, the SEC championship, I mean, it's, they go hand in hand. It's significant, right? I'm sure Kirby Smart feels the same way, right? He's kind of adopted a little bit of that over at Georgia. They've had a lot of success with the SEC championship game with his tenure there. That said, we also did hear from Kirby Smart maybe, a week ago, if that. And he even mentioned, hey, I don't necessarily want to get rid of title games, but if that's something we have to do to look at expanding and getting a better system in college football, then that's something that we're probably going to have to do. So the more I kept hearing people talk about it, the more I realized, hey, man, this unfortunately is probably going to happen. The days of watching, you know, Alabama and Georgia, whoever, you know, Texas, I know they recently played in it. When I was in school, we played Florida, I think, twice in the SEC championship game. I mean, it just is significant, man. It's probably coming to an end, and it's unfortunate. And then we're not only that, we're expanding a playoff system, Reed, that in my opinion, 12 felt, I feel like it was plenty. Now, if you wanted to argue the whole issue with, you know, the group of five teams getting in there and those teams taking the places of a team like maybe Texas, a team like maybe a hot Vanderbilt team with a quarterback who's edgy, who, you know, ticked a lot of people off, but you know, they're kind of on that bubble. You know what I mean? Maybe who was it? BYU, that was kind of a bubble team, whoever it might have been. Like, we can argue that. I mean, if you even wanted to argue maybe bumping into 16 teams, that way you still include some of those, but make sure some of those bubble teams that were very deserving of maybe one of those few playoff spots left, make sure they got a chance in there. Because it would have been at least, I don't know, Notre Dame. I should have mentioned Notre Dame, right? Like, I'm all for that. But when we're sitting here and we're looking at a 24-team playoff potential system, I see you're shaking your head. That was my very same reaction that I had. I'm just going to pull up the AP poll from last season, Reed, because I want to give a look at, you know, what would a 24-team playoff look like if we went back to last football season and use some of the teams that ended up where they ended up. Now, again, this is coming out from the AFCA, which they have their own AFCA coaches poll, so we can look at that, and the AP Top 25, just, you know, for reference. But if you look at it, Reed, and I'll throw this on the screen so our listeners on this, I guess our viewers on our stream, that way they can see this. Not very big there. I'll make it bigger. This was the top 25 from last season. Now, I'm sure there would probably still be some, I don't know, workings with group of five teams. So maybe you only take 21, 22 of these teams. I don't know. But anyway, if you go past kind of the teams that did make it, Notre Dame would have been in there. I'm cool with that. They missed a spot last season. I think they should have been there. They had two first-round running backs. They're a good football team. Right now, they are heavy favorites to win the national championship this upcoming season. Expansion would allow a team like that, if they're sitting in that realm, to make the playoffs. I'm cool with that. BYU, I know they played, what, Texas Tech in the conference game. They're a 12-2 football team. Listen, I think they would have been competitive. I'm cool with it. Texas, I'm cool with it. You see Oklahoma, who did, in fact, make the playoffs, right? Vanderbilt, I think that would have been interesting to watch Vanderbilt have a chance in the college football playoffs, right? They've been an interesting team over the last 2 years with Diego Pavia and Coach Lee and everything that they've been doing. Then you look at some of these other teams, Reed, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, Virginia, Iowa, Tulane, James Madison, which both of those teams, in fact, did make the college football playoffs. They were the group of five teams. USC, you got Michigan, Houston, you see Navy, and then it rounds out with North Texas and TCU. I guess the point I'm making is when you just look at some of those teams, Reed, I mean, how realistic are we talking of those teams, those back half teams, really having a fighting chance of winning a national championship? In my opinion, it's pretty damn slim, you know, and I think the issue, at least the way I view it, is, you know, this is about revenue. It's about generating more money, but it almost feels like they're trying to model it almost like you see with college basketball. You have a boatload of teams. You got, everybody loves the Cinderella stories. Cool. Here's the problem, Reed. Football and basketball are completely different sports. Right. And I would argue, and I don't think anybody would argue this, in basketball, you can have a small school still able to be competitive in a basketball game. Right. You just can. You see it. I would say often, but I feel like you see that from time to time. Some of these small schools, they don't have like big name guys, but they got some guys that can shoot the ball. They play very structured. You know what I mean? And they can compete. And we're just being honest here, man. Like in football, It's not the same, and the proof is right there. When you see these group of five teams, Reed, get an opportunity in the playoffs, I don't care that they only lost one regular season game. Look at who they're playing. When they get matched up with the big boys, it's a waste of time, honestly. So that's already one piece of it. And the fact that it's the SEC championship, the conference championships are basically being thrown out the window for this cause, that's really what bothers me, which I understand you make some type of sacrifice. I mean, there's no way you could probably keep both with the expansion. Plus, they also mentioned wanting to move up the championship game. Right now, we're kind of, you know, we're working ourselves way into, you know, late January or whenever it is now. It keeps getting kind of pushed back, which we all know that's already tough for any football program that's playing late into the season, right, in terms of the academic calendar. You know, other teams having advantages when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to spring ball, just whatever the case may be, right? We all know there's been issues with the calendar. So they also want to clean that up and they want to move things up, which is why you're seeing these conference games pretty much being sacrificed. But my thing is it really worth it, right? And there's a video, I'll play it here when we come back and let you guys hear it. He's basically going to recap everything I just talked about. But in my head, it's just like, who really benefits from this? Like, you get what I'm saying? That's my biggest question. I guess I'm always looking for like a why. What is the why here? I mean, is it like, because when I look at the 12-team playoff, I don't think the 12-team playoff, I think that expansion alone has afforded the opportunity to so many different teams to now get chances. Again, like when I was playing, we had a 14 playoff. If you lost basically one regular season game, you were basically still praying that you get in there, because there's probably going to be maybe one, sometimes two teams that were undefeated. And there's a good chance that those teams are pretty much locked. And then you're like, man, if you lost one regular season game, you're like, man, we don't have any room for error. You know, the 12-team playoff gave you a little bit of a cushion where you didn't have to sit there and be so tight, so wound up, and especially with the SEC going to 9 games, you know, to me, I'm like, okay, that's fair. That makes sense, right? You can lose a regular season game or two and still have a fighting chance, make the playoffs, and we know you just need an opportunity, right? You saw Miami. They were a borderline playoff team. They ended up getting in there, made it all the way to the national championship game. So I guess what I'm getting at is I feel like 12 teams was – again, we only have 2 years of it. And again, we can argue maybe shuffling it around in terms of like how they get those 12 teams, but I feel like 12 teams pretty much encompasses the majority of the football teams that you think have a true chance at winning. Even though I said there were a couple of bubble teams that could have maybe, I don't know, Texas, Notre Dame. But again, let's just swap out the group of five deal. That already adds two more. Or I guess maybe say, what, 16? But 24, Reed, I don't know, man. 24, I think, just for football, in my opinion, is too many. And here's the last thing I'll say. If you're moving to 24, do you think they're going to stop there? They went to 12, and they held for 12 for 2 years. So you think after 2 years with 12, already looking to go to 24, what's stopping them from going to, I don't know, 30 in the next 5 years? I just think that's way too much football. And I think at some point it's just like, man, I think that the true why is the money. I think everything always traces back to the money.
I think Chase here brought up a good point. If they're already expanding March Madness, why would they stop expanding, you know, the college football playoff?
Yeah, fair point. I mean, hey, listen, ask the coaches. They're the ones that have come up with this again. So this is coming out from, I guess, the American Football Coaches Association's Board of Trustees. I guess that's who's releasing it. But these are all the coaches coming together. I think they're the ones agreeing on this. So if I had to put my coaching hat on, and they mentioned this in this video that I was going to play, from a coaching perspective, it does help the coaches out. Why? You now have 24 teams or opportunities to make the playoffs. What coach doesn't want to say, hey, I'll let my team to the playoffs? Now, leading your team to a 24-team playoff versus a 4-team playoff like it was, or even the 12-team playoffs, is entirely different. But once you have a 24-team playoff format, I think these coaches are just like, man, we just want to make sure we get a shot in the playoffs, which leads to more security for them. Man, to me, I think that's one reason the coaches would want to go to that. But at the same time, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm a coach, like, do I want to sit there and play that, like, that many more games, that much more games, just to get to, I guess, the semifinals, the quarterfinals? I mean, that's a lot of football, man. Now, there was a couple more things, and there's more details, and I'll dive into this in a second. We got to hit this timeout. But it does say the most discussed 24-team college football playoff model includes an at-large bracket determined by the college football playoff rankings. They're probably not going to get rid of that little show they love to do. That's probably giving them some money and some ratings too. An automatic berth for the group of six leagues and first-round campus games for seeds 9 through 24. So I guess if you do, in fact, eliminate the conference title games, and you have, like, those first-round games, I mean, maybe there's not as many extra games as it really feels like there would be, but it still just feels to me, I just don't think it's necessary. That's my opinion. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. 205-342-9904. I know we got Mike lined up, others lining up. We'll get to you guys, get y'all's thoughts. Plus, we'll keep talking about this and drop some more details on it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5111. 1515 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud what does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more
billing snapshots from Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking the latest news regarding a college football playoff expansion, some major changes incoming to college football. Again, not just an expansion of the playoffs, but also the cancellation or the termination, I should say, of conference championship games, and then also trying to move up the calendar, which I will say I'm for moving up the calendar, Reed. I mean, I don't think football season. Now, listen, I want football as much as possible. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against it kind of going out, I guess. But at the same time, I feel like it does get stretched a little bit too much. And then it starts kind of moving into things that affects coaches. And I understand they wanted to move up. So I think that makes sense. 205-342-9904. We got Mike, our guy Mike from up north in New York, man, up first. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
What's up, Mike? How's everything?
Okay. Good, good. It's cold and rainy up here, man. Like 48. Man. Yeah,
okay. Not good.
Hey, so expansion. If they want to keep moving college football towards like pro level, just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off right now. Just so you want to go to 24 teams, go to 32. Why don't you just get to 8 conferences and have the top 4 teams in each conference till you get a conference championship, and then those 8 play each other in a bracketed series. That'll get you to 32. And then everything is settled on the field. You can get rid of Heather Dittich and her committee. Nobody wants to see that anyway, and all the word salad that they give every Sunday about strength of schedule, and this team looked good in the second half, and they had an injury, and but we apologize to this team. We just didn't think they were deserving. And, you know, enough's enough. Let them settle it on the field. These guys are getting paid. There's portal. And it also takes the strength of schedule argument away from everybody as well. You can play whoever you want on a conference because it doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is your conference schedule. Alabama can go play Miami and Ohio State and, Florida State and all and go 0-3. It doesn't matter because if they run the conference, they get in the 4-team playoff for the SEC. So it doesn't matter if you play cupcakes or good teams. It doesn't matter. So that takes all the guesswork out of it. But if they want to expand it, I think as fans we'd want to probably do that way. I agree with you. 24 teams. I mean, where are you going to go? I don't even think people look at once you get past the top 15. I think unless your team is down there. I don't think people even know who was ranked 15th through 25th last year. I don't know if any caller could name one of the schools without looking it up.
Yeah, I know. I just had to pull it up. But let me throw this at you, Mike. And I like where you're thinking in terms of just top 4 teams from some of these top conferences. It almost feels kind of like the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, you talk about divisions and taking some of those top teams there. But looking at, there's a couple things I want to throw at you. Number one, they mentioned if they did it last football season, like the 24-team bracket, it would have included a 23+1 model, meaning 23 of the best teams and then one spot for a group of 6 and the elimination of conference championship games. So that said, and I'm going to throw this on the stream, which I know you watch the stream. You can, when you get off the phone, you can see it. I'm putting this on here now. I think Pete Thamel had made, a hypothetical bracket that would have shown how it would have looked last football season. And it is kind of interesting. So bids by conference, there would have been seven SEC teams that would have made it, six from the Big Ten, five from the Big 12, three from the ACC, and then three from group of six / independents, right? So last year would have looked like this, and I'll just kind of go through this quick because there's 24 teams to name. Alabama would have been ninth, and they would have faced JMU in the first round. The winner of that game would have then played Oklahoma in the second round. And then also you would have had teams like so basically there was byes, I think, for 1 through 8, it looks like, right? So if you're 1 through 8, you would have a first round bye. And then they would kind of narrow itself down from there. So as I look at this, Mike, I'll be honest with you, this doesn't seem too bad. And in terms of all the teams in there, I mean, you got teams like USC, Arizona, I see BYU, I see Houston, you got Texas, Tulane, Virginia, Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, Iowa, Michigan, Utah. So those are some of the teams that would have been added to a 2014 playoff. Now, when you hear me explain that, what are your thoughts on that? Does that sound a little bit more interesting? Does it still sound like it's too much? What are your thoughts?
I hear a lot of like people that are clamoring for expansion of college football are the same ones that are writing articles that Oklahoma and Alabama shouldn't have been in the playoffs last year. You know, so, I mean, they're talking out of, you know, I don't know if they're trying to get clicks or what, but I mean, every year I hear people like, oh, this team shouldn't have been in the playoffs. This team should have been in, you know, and I get that. Replace teams. That's fine. I don't like, you know, hey, Pavi is a jerk, but I mean, I would have tuned into a Vanderbilt game just to watch them, you know, give other people fits, you know, like they've been giving people in the SEC fits the last couple of years. I mean, how do you guys like it? I would have tuned in to watch that, but, So the other big hurdle is doing it, you know, just going through the conferences is you got, you know, Notre Dame out there who's not in a conference and, you know, most of the stuff's going to have to get filtered through them, which I guess if they don't want to join a conference, just they could play Auburn January 1st every year and we could just check it off, check the box.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I look at this list, Mike, I mean, like you mentioned Vanderbilt. You're right. Vanderbilt would have been an interesting team to watch. I think you could get away with 16. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to maybe 16. Like, I wouldn't be mad if there's a few more teams or a few more slots added necessarily. But 24, it's just like, when I see, like, Vanderbilt versus Virginia, that game doesn't really catch my attention. Utah, Michigan doesn't really move the needle. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech was a decent team last football season. They had their moments. Texas versus Tulane, BYU, Houston. I mean, to be honest with you, there's not many that move the needle for me, but I mean, I don't think it would be awful necessarily. I mean, I think a lot of people would kind of just not pay much attention to the first round, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. Now, there was another follow-up article to this, and it was from I think they interviewed a coach from, is it Pittsburgh's coach maybe? Pat Narduzzi. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. We'll just go with Pittsburgh's head coach. But he was in favor of doubling the playoff, and he had an interesting argument, and that was, you know, players don't want to go play in these, I guess, irrelevant bowl games. And Coach Saban made this point a long time ago. When it comes to the playoffs, man, it does kind of take away from the significance of bowl games, which he's not wrong, right? Especially the bigger the playoff gets, you know, people aren't really wanting to go play in these little, I don't know, Cheez-It bowls and whatever it is. So that said, if you're swapping some of those bowl games out with actual playoff games, I mean, I do see that being a little bit more of a positive from that standpoint, because, you know, players are going to be competitive. They're fighting for a playoff game instead of I hate to call it a pointless bowl game, but some of those are just kind of pointless if we're being honest. So I don't know, man. There's a lot, I guess, perspectives with this, but definitely something we'll keep talking about, because I see everybody in the chat got their own opinion on this. It's interesting.
New Year's Day New Year's Day used to be one of the best sports days of the year with all the major bowl games, and they pretty much just killed it.
Coach Saban, he said it. He tried to warn about it. People don't listen to the guy until after the fact. And then even after the fact, then they try to claim that he's trying to keep people from accomplishing what he was able to accomplish. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, man.
That's it. Yeah, all you got to do is look back at the last couple of years, some of the first-round games, other than I think Alabama and Oklahoma, I think most of them are unwatchable. You know, they were just SMU and Penn State and Oregon and JMU. I mean, I don't think anybody – I think you watch that game past the second quarter, you were a fan of either team. Other than that, not very entertaining.
Well, the good news is I do think some of these first-round games would be a little bit better than maybe the likes of what you just explained, just given that – like Utah and Michigan, you know, 15 versus 18, probably be a little bit better of a matchup. Miami, Iowa could probably be a pretty decent matchup. Two physical football teams that like to run the ball. I mean, Vanderbilt, Virginia. Like, I feel like the way this 24 team, I guess, hypothetical playoff bracket that would have been the case based off of the 2025 rankings, I feel like the matchups feel a little bit more balanced, which could provide for better football games, even if you're not really looking forward to watching any of those teams specifically. I mean, Alabama versus JMU, that definitely sounds like, you know, a joke of a game. But I'll take that for a first-round game. I think we could probably guarantee a second-round spot. I don't know. We got a lot to talk about here on this, Mike. But I appreciate you calling in. Man. Good to hear from you. I know it's been a while.
Yeah, man, good hearing from you. Take care, guys.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Good stuff. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We're talking about the college football potential expansion, which sounds like it's getting closer and closer to being a reality. We'll keep getting y'all's thoughts right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Thursday morning on the Gary Harris Show, Mac Ulter is going to be with me to discuss NASCAR. He wasn't able to be with us on Wednesday, so we'll get that NASCAR segment in for you on Thursday. Also, we'll preview the SEC softball tournament as Alabama gets underway, and we'll have Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340. Put your phone calls. That's Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC and on the Tide 100.9 app, weekdays from 9 to 11.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9...
Easy for you, so come shop with us. We can't wait to help you celebrate the amazing women in your life.
And as always, tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are a kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon. A chance of showers, the high 81. Thunderstorms arrive tonight, and those storms could be severe, the low 63. Dry air returns tomorrow, the sky becoming partially sunny, the high at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking some of these major changes on the way to college football. Very likely we see an expansion to 24 teams in the college football playoffs. Reed, any thoughts on everything we've been talking about? I know you haven't had a chance to chime in since we had thrown up this graphic here from Pete Thamel. Again, this is a hypothetical 24-team playoff based off of the 2025 playoff rankings, which – again, it's like a 23+1 model, and you see it. I mean, 7 SEC teams, 6 Big Ten, 5 Big 12, 3 ACC, then 3 group of 6 / independent on there. I mean, what are your thoughts when you see this, right? Because it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another to have a visual or an example of what it actually could look like, right? And I think after seeing it initially, I'm like, man, hell no, this is pointless. But after seeing it based off of last year, I'm like, I'm still not a huge fan of it, but it doesn't seem as bad as I initially thought. And then once, you know, you're hearing, you know, Pittsburgh's coach make a point about, well, no one's caring about these bowl games anymore. I mean, it's almost as if you're just throwing in some of these extra first round games. You get what I'm saying? And it's, I guess it's all about perspective here, but tell me, what do you think about after seeing that graphic?
Well, Christian, I'll start off by saying, you know, I love college football. You know, I think it's my favorite sport. I grew up about it, and I love watching games, whether it's from my own team or really any team at the Division One or even Division Two level, right? But I think the thing that, you know, aggravates me the most, which, you know, you pointed out potentially getting rid of conference championships, right? Which, you know, don't get me wrong, I remember, you know, watching a majority of the SEC, Big Ten, like within the last 5-10 years, right? But I think the thing that just really I feel like it's not right is, like, you're just, the more you expand, the more, in my opinion, you're devaluing the regular season. And it's just making it so where there's more wiggle room for losses, which, credit, you know, people could say, hey, you know, Alabama finished with 4 losses. Well, that's correct, but one of those losses came in the playoffs and the other one came in the SEC championship game. They finished the regular season with 2 losses, right? When there's potential for 3 loss regular season teams or even potentially 4 lost regular season teams slipping in. I don't think if you're losing 4, like, and they have a potential to slip in there in the regular season, I just don't think that you should get in.
Especially if you're looking at it from today's standards, I'm with you, right? I mean, 3-4 lost teams don't feel like true playoff caliber football teams. But I think that's based off of where we're at today, right? I mean, because we came from a 4-team playoff system initially. That's why even when you looked at the 12-team playoff and you're seeing some of these teams that, you know, might be on that bubble, you're like, realistically, are they even a playoff team? I think we still had our minds set on, you know, what is a true playoff team? And when you had a 10-year system of only 4 teams making it, and all those teams were like maybe 1 loss teams, you know what I mean? Maybe a 2 loss team a couple of times. I think the expectations are a little bit different, but when you look at a 24-team playoff, Reed, I think eventually you kind of recalibrate maybe a little bit and you're like, okay, just like how we say now, you know, a 10-2 football team is like the old 11-1. If you move to, I guess, a 24-team playoff, I think 9-3 would be the old 10-2, so to speak, or something like that, just given that it's a little bit of an adjustment. And I get it. I mean, a lot of people I see in the chat, they're not feeling it. They're like, man, they're kind of like what you're saying, kind of like what I initially was saying. But then I look at it a little bit more. Then I hear this comment again. This is from Pittsburgh's coach, and he says, all the fans will be bored to death if we don't have a 2014 playoff, especially with the bowl games going away. And then the conference championship games, that's kind of one of those things. I'm not sure you guys know again. You know, the AFCA came out with their statement yesterday. I still love the championship game. So, I mean, I don't think everybody's on board to necessarily get rid of the championship games. But I think if you're moving to a 2014 playoff system, you don't really have a choice, especially while also trying to achieve the goal of moving up the calendar system and being done by mid-January.
And Christian, let me ask you this, because this is how I'm also thinking about it, right? We're consistently, we've just over the years have consistently expanded and expanded. If they told us that for good, this would be the final bracket, right, 24, then I think I could accept that. But I'm also assuming that down the line, whether it's 5, 10 years, they're going to expand it some more. And that's really, like, I get it, you know. Some people say it's money. Some people say it's more of an opportunity for job security for coaches. I get that. But I'm assuming that they're going to keep expanding and expanding until it almost pretty much turns into a March Madness.
Now, that's where I really would draw the line, which I'm not going to lie. 24 already feels a little overwhelming. I don't know why, but I'm just like, man, 24 is overwhelming. Let's go back to this graphic because I want to try to count how many extra games. I might need your help with this, Reed. I think I'm pretty good with numbers, but sometimes it gets confusing. How many extra games would you potentially play? That's my next question, because the tricky part is you eliminate conference championship games. So this past year, right, you know, if you made the conference championship, you played 12 regular season games. If you made the conference championship game, but then you made it to, matter of fact, let me pull up the actual college football bracket from last season, because that might help us out a little bit more. So, for example, Alabama, we made the conference championship game, so that was 13. Then we played Oklahoma in the first round. That would have been, that made 14. And then when we played Indiana, that made 15. Then if we would have beat Indiana, that would have made what? 16, right? And then 17 would have been the national championship. Did I just count that right? Or did I add an extra game? Because 12 regular season games.
Yeah, no, it would be 17 because Indiana went 16-0, correct?
Yeah.
They didn't have to play in the first round. So.
Yeah, so there you go. So look at you, Reed, man. Skipping all the hard steps that I just took. You just took a great shortcut. I love it, man. So you're right. So 17 total games. But let's talk about this. I mean, if you have 24, but you get rid of the conference championship game, again, I'm trying to do this on the fly, so we could be wrong. Chat might have to help us out with this. How many extras could be possible, Reed? Do you know off the top of your head? I'm trying to pull that graph. Where'd that graphic go, man? I need to put that back on the screen. There we go. Because there's no more conference championship games, so you end the regular season at 12. So say you're Alabama or any of these teams in the first round, so you go 13, then 14, then what, 15? Wait.
No, so I think
wait,
you'd play
maybe 16 still?
No, I think you'd play one extra game, like, because let's just say, right, like in our situation, we made the conference championship and we still got the seed. Instead of playing Oklahoma, right, see where it says like the 8 seed, we play one extra game and then we'd go on to Oklahoma, quote unquote, like we saw last season, beat Oklahoma, then go on to Indiana. So it is just based upon Alabama circumstances of making the conference. But see, you're getting rid of the conference title game is what you're saying.
So it's the same, I think.
I think it would be the same.
It's either the same or it's not minus one. Yeah, because you basically just swap the conference championship
for that
game.
JMU game,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, so basically 17 games as well. So I guess I made that much more difficult than it needed to be. So if that's the case, that's not really much of an argument. I was thinking maybe that could be, right? Like if you're saying, hey, that's going to cause even more college football games to be played, which technically there are more games being played, but it feels like, from my understanding, you're just replacing, right? You're kind of just swapping. You're swapping the conference championship games for first round games, which, again, there's going to be technically more games being played because not all those teams were playing in conference championship games. But the total number of games being played will not be changed, right? So that's... I mean, that's an interesting thing to consider there. You're not worried about having a whole bunch of extra, you know what I mean? That would be different if you're saying, oh, you're going from 17 total games and now you're looking at 18, 19. I think that probably would have made people
And
say,
I know we have to hit this top of the hour, but I think another thing, too, is, like, I don't think this year affected Alabama, but we didn't drop in the rankings after the loss in the SEC championship game, right? But let's just say we were higher up, like even one spot, then that would have meant that we played one less game because we wouldn't have played in the first round.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Really good point. Man, we'll keep breaking all this down again, as you guys can tell. I mean, there's so many things to really expand on with this whole conversation. We'll keep doing that in hour number two. Plus, we'll go back to the phone lines and see we got Hunter coming up next. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Detroit Pistons won their second round opener, beating Cleveland 111-101. Cade Cunningham, 23 points on 6 of 19 shooting from the floor. Then Oklahoma City won a game one against the Lakers, 108-90. Chet Holmgren with 24 points, 12 rebounds. The Celtics' Jaylen Brown was fined by the NBA $50,000 for recent criticism of the referees. In the NHL playoffs, Colorado is up 2-0 after beating Minnesota 5-2. Toronto won the lottery for the NHL draft. In Major League Baseball, the Braves won again, record of 26-11 after a ninth inning homer got them a 3-2 win at Seattle. Arizona and San Diego with late night victories. The Angels as well. Halos held on 4-3 over the White Sox. Rainouts at St. Louis and at Colorado. Houston edged the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani 2-1. Fifth straight win for the Yankees and Tampa Bay and for the Kansas City Royals.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
If we move bowl season up. And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking about these major changes coming to college football playoffs specifically 2014 playoff seems to be on the horizon, and we're breaking it down. What that looks like? Do we like it? Do we hate it? Do we love it? And what you guys think about it? Right, 205-342-9904 is the number. We got Hunter up next. Hunter, welcome in.
How we doing, Christian?
Good, man. Can't complain. How's everything, brother?
Going good. Going good. So, nice. I see we're talking about the expansion, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are your actual thoughts on it? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Mm-hmm. I listen. I'm not a huge fan of it personally, but the more we talk about it, the more, you know, details, the more we dive into it, and I kind of see, especially this visual. Like, I'm a visual guy, man. Now that I see this hypothetical 2014 field based off of last football season, it made me feel a little bit better about expanding that many teams. Personally, it's a little overwhelming, like just looking at all these teams. And I'm just like, man, are we really thinking all these teams are true playoff teams? Personally, I don't think so. But if we're talking about getting rid of and eliminating conference championship games, and then a lot of these bowl games are basically just being replaced with these first round games, that's why I think, to me, that's important to view it like that. Basically, you're just saying, hey, teams that would have been playing in, you know, mid-tier bowl games are now just swapping that with, hey, you're considered for a first round bye. I almost view it as the first round feels in like play-in games. If you view it from that lens, not like all of them, but you see what I'm saying? Because if you look at like the second round teams, right, it's 1 through 8. Those teams were playoff teams this past year. And when I look at those teams like Indiana, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Oklahoma, granted, you know, Alabama, I feel like interchangeable with Oklahoma right there. What I'm getting at is those, to me, feel like true playoff caliber teams. All these other teams around the bracket with the first round matchups, those I just feel like are, you could almost view it as like a play-in type game. They're playing in to play with the big boys or the teams that you feel really confident in. And when I view it from that lens, I'm not too against it like I previously was, but I still think you could probably find a way to make 16 work. And I'll be honest, I don't think you necessarily have to have an expansion, but I was kind of left thinking this past year, like, man, like leaving a team like Notre Dame out, who a lot of people thought they probably should have, you know, got a chance given just them as a football team. I understand their resume and all that, but like looking at the talent that they had, like, I think that would have been a much better matchup to see Notre Dame take on Ole Miss or somebody in that first round from last season than Tulane or JMU.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Better thing, though, is like, What's the point in teams playing like out of conference teams like Alabama playing Ohio State in like 27-28 when like there's like no point into it now?
Well, I mean, I guess on one end you could view it as there's not as much risk that you're taking by playing those games. I mean, there's still a risk in it. I mean, when I say risk, I mean, you know, you're basically playing a playoff game early in the season, which we know that's somewhat of a risk. You just ask Texas, you know, they played Ohio State. Yeah. They went on the road and played Ohio State. And one could argue, Digger especially, who calls in a lot, he would tell you if they didn't have the cojones to go do that, they probably would have had a playoff shot. They scheduled somebody small right there. So I think now with the 2014 playoff, you could keep those games on the schedule. Because number one, I know from a coaching perspective, like if you're not worried about the implications of losing that game, a lot of coaches would actually want to do that earlier in the year. Why? Because that would give them a preview of what they have as in their football team. And it would kind of give them a glimpse at, you know, where they stand and what they need to do to, you know, when it comes later on in the year, when they might get matched up against some more of those teams. That makes sense. So I think if you can tell coaches that, hey, you're not really risking as much by playing those types of games earlier in the year, it's kind of a good litmus test to find out who your team really is early on in the season, what you guys need to improve on throughout the course of the year. I actually don't think that would be bad to continue those with that setup.
Yeah. You could probably possibly see more matchups like that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I think you would. I mean, right now people started shying away from them and canceling them, but I think that would probably go back to being a thing again. Like people start scheduling them again. Personally, that's what I think would happen.
Like, I know you can't really get rid of the FCS because how are they going to get their money and stuff, but we take one off the schedule and put another big time opponent on there or something.
Well, but like don't they have a big playoff system or something like that? Doesn't the FCS do something a little bit better?
I think so. But another thing is, like, what if you see a team that's, like, at the end of the season with, like, one loss? Do you think they might sit starters to give them rest?
It all depends, man. I mean, if you're a one-loss team, I personally think what would happen is the goal would be to be a top eight team. If you're going off of what we have pulled up here again from Pete Thamel, the top eight teams had byes, right? They automatically were sitting there in the second round. I think the goal would be just make it there, right? Because that's as good as you're going to get, right? Just having to buy and waiting there. In terms of resting guys, I'm not too sure. I mean, it is interesting if you look at the pattern of the teams that have had byes in recent years, sometimes they don't fare too well. Now, Indiana had a bye, and they were one of the first teams to just look to be not affected by it, and they just ran the table after that. But I don't know about resting players, Hunter, but I do think trying to make it to that second round, that way you at least had a bye week to kind of rest up there, I think would be good. Yeah. But I think part of the problem in the past was when these teams had these bye weeks, remember how long it would take for them to have to play a game? I mean, like, I think with this system, with them moving everything up, Yeah, it felt like they were off for a month. That's hard. I'll be honest. I mean, we did that when we had the four-team playoff system. I mean, we deemed it like a new season. Like, we would finish up the SEC championship game. We know we'd have, like, 3 weeks or whatever it was to basically prepare. So we'd have, like, 1 week of kind of scaling back, just kind of working out, doing some, like, seven-on-seven type stuff maybe for a few days. And then we, like, stretch out our practice schedule. We'd go back to camp-style practices. And then we get into like an actual true install type week. It was a very interesting process, and it sometimes was tough to kind of get back in the rhythm after you hadn't really played a true football game for three and a half weeks. But it depends on how they specifically do the 24 team system. But I don't know. I think just trying to get to that second round bye would be ideal for most teams.
Yeah.
I think there'd only be like a week. I think there would be like the way it would work is I think it would be like these first round games would probably come pretty quick. Like the regular season would be done, and I think it would be like maybe a week. I don't think there'd be much more time than that, and I think you're already getting into the first round. So maybe if you're a second round team, you might have at most maybe 2 weeks off. I think that's one of the big things they're trying to aim for.
So if you look at this, I mean, if this happens, then you're going to see week zero just disappear, and it'll push back the season, I would think, right?
I mean, I think in order for them to shorten the schedule, there's definitely probably a good chance they probably make a number of different changes. Because if you're adding games and you're trying to also be done by, mid-January at the latest, it's probably going to cut into some stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if just cutting out the conference title games is enough. Maybe week zero. I'm not 100% sure, but that's a good point to bring up.
I don't want them to cut the conference championships. I don't either.
Trust me, I don't either. That's my biggest gripe with this whole. I'll be honest. If they told me that you could expand the playoffs, almost like having the best of both worlds, right? Everybody wants this expansion so bad. All right. If I was a coach, I would agree to that, but I still would want some type of conference acknowledgement. I mean, I love a conference championship game, but I guess would it just also move to mimic sports like basketball, where you have just a regular season SEC championship, or excuse me, regular season SEC champion without playing a game? Because you have both, right? Whether it's baseball, softball, basketball. You know, in football, we never really did that. You know, you never celebrated being named the regular season SEC champion. You had to actually go out there and play a game. So that would be kind of weird to me if you're just like, oh, man, we won the regular season SEC title and we just get rings without playing an actual game. I don't know if I would really be a big fan of that, but I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think you could leave the title. Listen, I think you could leave the conference title games in there somehow, and maybe you just have play-in games that same weekend, and then you just make a rule where I guess you have to somehow. There has to be some type of implications. I don't know, man. Personally, I don't know. I don't want to get rid of the title games, though. I'm with you.
Dude, they've only had the 12 team for 2 years now, going on three, and they're already doubling the expansion. Like, what?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, man. So where's the like the limit on it? I mean, how long are the 24 team playoff system? How long is that going to last?
Dude, are we going to go from 24 for 2 years to 48?
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I would not be shocked if you look ahead, whether it's 5, 10 years down the road, I would not be shocked if we see college football's playoff system very close to looking like March Madness. Maybe not quite, because that would just, I don't think that's just possible with football.
But I would not be shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think you'd have to cap it at like 30-something. I don't know. There's just no way you go over that. I mean, I don't even know if you can really go over 24 and make it interesting, personally.
You seen they expanded March Madness, didn't you?
I mean, what number are we at there? Is it like 70?
76.
Jesus Christ.
We went to 76 this year. I'm like, yeah, what, 64? There's 76, like, for what? Yeah.
But to be fair, though, hopefully they're smart enough to realize football is totally different than basketball. You know, basketball, you can play extra games, right? I mean, basketball is not a physical sport like football. I get it. There's some physicality down in the paint a little bit here and there, but you're not putting on, you know, a helmet and shoulder pads and literally running in and into each other at high speed collisions and all that stuff. I mean, but I wouldn't be shocked, man. If they start pushing for 30-plus teams in a playoff system, I would not be shocked. I would not be shot in the slightest.
This is crazy, man. He goes from BCS to computer to 2 teams to 4 teams, 12 teams, to now 24.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That 24 is going to be 30-plus soon. I mean, listen, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, man, this is a whole business. And you're talking about you're paying players now, there's compensation. They're going to look for ways to generate even more revenue. I mean, look, I at least respect the one coach's thoughts about, hey, man, no one really cares about these bowl games. And he's not wrong. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I watched maybe one bowl game this past season. I watched the playoffs, and I may have watched like one bowl game. I ain't really care about it anymore. I'm like, all right, we got a 12-team playoff. I'm like, that's entertaining enough.
I mean, they should already know, like, it's meaningless when teams are just like, yeah, I don't even want to play it. And then half the roster just sits out and you're playing third and fourth turn.
But I think that's one of the big reasons these coaches are really pushing for this, because they're like, if the bowl games have become so meaningless, why not just convert those into first round matchups for the college football playoff? That will bring back the engagement from the fans, but not just the fans, but also the players themselves, because the players don't want to play in those bowl games. But if you tell them you're playing in a playoff game and they still are, you know, on the quest to win that national championship game, best believe it's going to drive up the engagement. So I will say, from a business standpoint, this model actually does make sense. From a business standpoint, it actually makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. I'm not trying to look at it from a business standpoint. I'm just looking at it from, you know, a college football fan. But I don't know. I think a lot of other schools would be celebrating. I mean, imagine the teams that you look at on here, like, you know, Georgia Tech, Iowa, you know, Utah, Virginia. Those teams, they can be in that 15 to 25 range pretty consistently. But it's pretty tough for them to get past that. Now they're sitting there licking their chops like, hey, man, we're now going to get a chance at the college football playoffs, which I thought we did this last year, 2 years ago when we went to 12, and now we're doing it again. It's just, I mean, we're just handing out participation trophies, man. Hey, you want to get in the playoffs? Hey, you come play in the playoffs, man.
At this point, you can go 8-4 and be comfortable with it.
Which goes back to our point about job security, man. If anything, I think the biggest winners here are the coaches. Let's just be honest. I think the biggest winners are the coaches, man. The coaches / the teams that are consistently 15 through 24 / 25. I think those are the biggest winners here. I mean, everybody else, I think 12 was just enough. If you're a serious team that is consistently a top 10, top 15 type team, I think you were fine with 12, but we'll have to see, man. We'll have to see. Hey, listen, I'm just glad we could have a conversation where you weren't going to stump me with one of these tough questions that you always throw at us, man. Listen, I'm too tired for that today, man. I was like, Hunter, please, let's stick to playoffs, man. Don't stump me today, brother.
Nah, you're
I'm just messing with you, man. Right. Hey, I appreciate you calling, man. Good stuff as always.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff, man. Shout out to Hunter, man. And then check him out, too. I forgot his, I think he might have hung up, but I think he's doing some stuff with podcast stuff. Make sure you check him out. I want to say, I think he works with JT, maybe Roll Tide Nation. K Can't remember exactly, but next time he calls, man, give him a follow, give him a listen. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. We go back to the phone lines. We keep on talking about these major changes coming to college football right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
The Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Real deal, try Tide Pods.
Stop paying for watered-down detergents. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods. Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon. A chance of showers, the high 81. Thunderstorms arrive tonight, and those storms could be severe, the low 63. Dry air returns tomorrow. The sky becoming partially sunny, the high at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Wednesday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. A lot of talk about these big changes coming to college football. Again, if you guys are just tuning in, we're talking about the major college football expansion that is likely coming very soon. Again, we moved to 12 teams 2 years ago. Well, reports are coming out of the AFCA, which is the American Football Coaches Association, that pretty much all the coaches have come together in unison to agree that a 24-team playoff system would be, I guess, very beneficial. I guess they've finally come together on that. Remember, there's been a lot of back and forth, you know, 16, leave it at 12. A lot of people pushing for 24. It seems like people are starting to finally come around to that. This is interesting. Robert Griffin, I just saw this real quick, but he, I guess him and Josh Pate were going back and forth about this whole expansion. I'll read into that first. But let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Bishop up next. Bishop, welcome in.
What's good? What's shaking? What's popping?
What's going on, man?
Oh, man. This is a hot topic.
It is. It is, man. It's definitely a hot topic. And listen, I see everybody's chiming in on it, but tell me, what do you think about it? You hate it? You love it? You indifferent?
Here's where I'm at. As a fan, I'm torn because I just got used to the 12 team, and they're changing that. But there was a narrative, and I know a lot of this is not going to be popular. There was a narrative last year that they were concerned that the conference title games weren't necessary. I.e., Duke went in over Virginia, and yet neither one of them made it into the playoffs. So there's some validity to it, but I'm at the crossroads where I don't want to get rid of the conference championships. For the simple fact is, then who really wins the conference? You know, and then not only that is, okay, we got to remember Notre Dame, after the last year fiasco, went to NCAA, and now as long as they're in the top 12, they automatically get in, and then you still got your two FCS schools. Then you also have your Big 12 getting one. That leaves eight left. Well, now what they're doing, so like a Ole Miss and Vandy that was left out of last year would make this new list if we had this last year.
Yeah, that graphic that I had pulled up, it really kind of it painted a different picture than I kind of initially thought. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't too mad at the way it looked. And I think some of those games could have been, they could have been okay on there. But the more I think about it, it's just like if you're replacing some of those bowl games that have become a little meaningless at this point with just first round games. Right. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, personally, I understand where they're going with it. I just, in my head, I'm just like, man, I just don't think 24 teams is necessary. That's my biggest deal. Is 24 teams necessary? Absolutely not. Does it make sense from a business standpoint? I think it does.
But check this out, Christian. Think about this. What about those cities, the host cities, that is part of their revenue and they look forward to it?
Well, I think the first round would be home games, right? So, I mean, going back to that, that graphic, I mean, you'd have teams like Southern Cal. They would have been hosting one against Arizona. Alabama would host one against JMU. BYU would host one against Houston. Texas would be hosting one. Vanderbilt would be hosting one in Nashville. Notre Dame, Miami, and Utah. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to generate more revenue. I mean, without a doubt, that's one of the big reasons we're seeing that. I mean, with no question, more playoff games is going to result in more revenue generated. And when you're talking about a system
that is
now compensating players, I think it's almost inevitable. They're going to look for ways to generate more money. That we all know that. And that's why I said, I mean, from that standpoint, it makes sense. What's the point of holding a meaningless bowl game that's seeing the attendance numbers drop? The viewership is dropping on majority of these bowl games. Why? Because all the attention is on the college football playoffs. So what way can you help save some of those games from becoming even more meaningless? Well, just wrap them up in the first round playoff game and watch the attraction, you know, grow again. I think that's kind of where they're going with this. Plus, from a coaching perspective, what coach wouldn't want to be able to claim that, hey, we're making the college football playoffs every year, even though it's totally different than it was?
And this is where those teams that were on the bubble, this is where they are finally be let in. And I get that part. But here's my thing about it. Now, you're predicated on the strength of schedule, right? Well, let's say you, let's use i.e. Miami or Notre Dame. Their strength of schedule, do they even rival a Big Ten or SEC schedule with strength of schedule? And so when they win their games, you can see where, okay, if it's us versus them, but you already told Notre Dame, hey, as long as you're in the top 12, you're in, then somebody like us in the old scheme would have been bumped out. And then, of course, the FBS bumps the other person out.
Right.
So now with this, I think what they're trying to do is in some type of way, and also is a money grab, but they're trying to make sure those teams that truly have put in the effort in like 9-3 teams would make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, those teams would be rewarded. I mean, I can't help but just think, I think the main driving force here would be that.
I thought 16 would be it.
Yeah, and I'm that's where I'm with you on that, because I think 16 would be a happy medium where you expand it a little bit. You allow some of those bubble teams that did not have to worry so much. But then you're also not overwhelming the whole playoff system where, again, just looking at the graphic, I'm like, Jesus, man, that's a lot of games right there. But if you look at the perspective where you're just like, all right, say you just left it as a quote-unquote 12 or 16-team playoff. It was labeled that. Yeah. But then you said, hey, the winner of this game, and this game, and this game, these bowl games, are like in the play-in game for an opportunity.
Right.
Then I think it sounds a little bit different, because really, if you look at it from – so if you go straight to the second round, it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 teams. So really – that would consist of 16 teams, right? You get what I'm saying? So
right.
the extra eight teams are really just teams that are playing in that first round, which you could almost view as just like a 16-team playoff with a bunch of play-in type games, which the verbiage just makes it feel a little bit different. I don't know why. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down, because it still consists of 24 teams, but maybe it doesn't seem as overwhelming.
No, I'll follow you.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, you got to –
Yeah.
Yeah, because you got eight teams sitting there waiting in the second round anyways. Then you got 16 teams playing in this big first round to get in there. So when I change my perspective and look at it through that lens, I'm like, all right, just imagine some of those bowl games that nobody was watching anymore turned into play-in games. That's kind of what we're looking at here. So I don't know. But so, definitely some interesting stuff.
The
man.
Caveat is, Christian, the caveat mm-hmm. is ask yourself, okay, if we get rid of the conference title game,
yep.
What does that get us? Who do we know actually wins the conference? Or are we not even worried about the conferences anymore winning out, and you're just trying to win as many games as possible for your seeding?
That's really what it's turning into. I mean, it's really pretty much just win as much as possible for your seeding. I mean, if you're not having any more conference title games, like I said, unless you're pretty much just going to offer the team that finishes the top seed in the conference as your conference champion, similar to what you see with other sports, which to me, I'm like, that's a great achievement, sure, but I don't really know if I want to. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not used to it, but I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel the same. Like, hey, we got this ring because we were named the top team in the SBC.
You like me. It's like, it's gumbo. Hey, this is new dispensation. And to be real honest, let's ask ourselves this. There's a Prime, Amazon Prime, that's about to do a deal with Duke. How soon will that intertwine with this, and knowing what the way it's going, it might behoove us to at least see what they're going. But it's right now it's in its infant stage, and it ain't sitting too well, because I'm asking myself, how do you then only the strength of schedule is it? And then some of the strength of schedules are like in the 120s, but as long as they go 11-1 or 12-0, they're in the playoff.
No, you're right. I mean, that's what feels weird when you're seeing some of those teams named a playoff team in this hypothetical 24-team bracket. But I guess it's just something we'd have to get used to. Wrinkle we got to figure out, man. Get used to it. Bishop, I appreciate you, man. Good stuff as always, brother.
As always. Remember, we came from 14, so give us some grace. Y'all got a grace card, us.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That makes sense. You're right. Yes, sir. We'll talk soon, Bishop. I appreciate you, brother.
Man, I appreciate you all once again. Please run the likes up for Christian. He does an excellent job. And once again, humbly, thank you for allowing me to come on.
Always. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man. We got to hit a timeout. Big thanks to Bishop there. When we come back, we got Stephen M. Smith, plus we got others on the phone lines. We'll get you guys right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
The $10 bucket of the day deal, every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Come see us and let us help you find something she'll love or something that makes you feel beautiful. Christie's Boutique, where you're always seen, always loved, and always styled. Happy Mother's Day.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that, that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking these major changes incoming for college football. Now we go back to the phone lines. We got our guy Stephen M. Smith, Stephen Money Smith. He is of Touchdown Alabama Magazine. Stephen, that is totally on me for having you wait so long, brother. Welcome in, man. Good Wednesday to you.
Man, good Wednesday to you, Christian. That's not your fault, man. That's radio, man. That's radio. Yeah. You got to take the callers. You got to, you know, get to everybody you can get to. So that's not you, man. That's the life of radio.
Man, no, I listen, but you are a special caller, and I should have had it reserved right there for you. That is totally on me. I'm not going to lie, man. I've had a million things going on. I said, man, I saw Steven pop up on there. I'm like, my guy Steven, it's Wednesday. I'm tripping. I'm like, we need to get our guy Steven up here. So now we got you, and I appreciate you being patient, man. But Steven, I want to jump straight into it. I'm not going to hog up all your time talking. Talk to me, man. We've been talking about this whole playoff expansion thing. What do you think about it? There's a lot of noise about it going to 24 teams. We've only had the 12 team for 2 years going on three, but it sounds like 24 teams in the college football playoffs is more of a reality than it's ever been. And not only that, which honestly is more, you know, disappointing to me than anything. I can get over the 24 team expansion, but they're talking about really eliminating conference championship games. I kind of thought that was just people just throwing that out there. Now it seems like that's gaining some serious momentum. What do you make of all this, Stephen?
It's wild, man, because of the fact that, as you know, Christian, we live in a capitalist society. So what do people love? People love money, and people love football. So whichever way they can get the most of both is what they're going to do. And even if that's at the expense or at the extent of, you know, finding possibly a better way, I mean, I for one agree with the recent call of Bishop. 16 teams, which was my thought, at least try 16. I mean, you've gone from 4 to now 12. You skipped six and eight. You went from 4 to 12. Well, at least give 16 a try to see how that goes before you jump to 24. But in this society, people love to jump to the bigger extreme, which is now you're looking at 24 teams. I mean, if you cut out conference championship games, if that becomes the real deal notion here, then you look at, okay, something that really created value, which was those conference championship games, how do you now really determine on the field who's the real conference champion? I understand that Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, he was at the region's Pro AM a week or so ago talking to Paul Feinbaum about, well, there's many ways to crown a champion. There's many different ways you can go about it. But you and I both know, Christian, when you're on that field and you get a chance to decide that on that field, it's a special feeling. So if you're not able to decide it on the field, even though you have a different metrics, tiebreakers, win losses, you know, who has the better of this or that, just taking away, deciding it on the field, difficult pill to have to swallow there.
It definitely is. But, I mean, I think from a revenue standpoint, I mean, I think that's what's really driving this whole thing. You talk about the cost of rosters continuously, they're climbing, you know, year in and year out. At some point, we're probably going to see, on average, a team probably costs around $50 million or so. I mean, we're already hearing teams pushing that number, but I think that could eventually, in a few years, be the new norm. And you got to find somewhere to really get this money. And I just think if you have an expanded playoff system, that would allow, whether it's the networks, whether it's the fan engagement, there's going to be more money generated. And I think that's kind of where they're going with this whole thing. So it is what it is. I hate that the conference championship game is, you know, a byproduct, or I guess the cancellation of them would probably be a byproduct of it. But I guess you just kind of got to roll with the punches. If that ends up being the case, Steven, I mean, what would that alter any of your expectations for Alabama in terms of, you know, the playoffs? I mean, I think we could all agree if there's a 2014 playoff, Alabama should be in it year in and year out. I think if you miss 1 year of a 2014 playoff at Alabama, that could be very alarming. How would your expectations maybe be altered when you look at Alabama and having the opportunity of a 2014 playoff every year?
I don't think my expectations would be altered, Christian. It would just be, okay, but the 2014 playoff, how much of a run could Bama make, right? Because, I mean, obviously with 24 teams, you're going to have extra games in that playoff prior to getting to the national championship game. It's going to be more than just round one, round two, the semifinal round, and then, of course, the national championship game. Now you're adding more rounds. So now the expectation becomes, okay, how deep could Alabama really go, you know, under Kang and DeBoer, should we get to the 2014 playoff? How many games can Bama win? How much can the team stay healthy? You know, how much can guys, you know, stay rested? How much can you keep the momentum? Of course, we all want to know, how does that bye week work? How many teams get that first round bye? Is there a second round bye? So these are all conversations that, of course, that a college football playoff committee is going to have to dwell on within themselves. I don't think it'd be more so of an expectation change, more so of me, you know, how far can Alabama get into it?
Yeah, I think for me it just would be that there's really no excuse not to make the playoffs when it looks right to be a 2014 playoff. That would be the only thing I would say. I think it's like, hey, there should be a guarantee you're making the college football playoffs. I mean, I don't even remember the last time Alabama wasn't in the top 25. I mean, it's probably been, I don't know how long, but definitely a long time. Steven, I want to ask you something that came up the other day. We were talking here on the show. Joel Klatt joined the next round, and he was giving his honest opinion of this Alabama football team, and they asked him, from year one to year two, would he agree that they improved? And we know he's a tough critic when it comes to Alabama, even the SEC in general, but he flat out just said no. He said, you know, they made the playoffs, sure, they made the conference championship game, but when he looked at this football team, you know, they struggled in the big games, and he just couldn't really say that they ultimately were better from year one to year two, which, again, when you hear that initially, it kind of sounds like he's tripping, right? But then you think about it and you're like, all right, well, if you really break down this football team and you look at specific numbers and really just kind of what they did as a football team, not on the, you know, from the, I guess, where they made it to, we all can agree that's clear progress. But when you really, I guess, pop the hood on this Alabama football team, I mean, what is your response to that? Do you feel like there was clear progress from year one to year two?
When I popped the hood on this football team, Christian, I mean, there were some things that they did do better. But ultimately, what's the mindset of this program? The mindset of this program is to push toward hardware, or to push toward championships. And when you don't do that, it leaves a bad taste. When you don't do that, it forces you to reevaluate. Okay, where did we mess up? Because we did not meet our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to win the SEC. The ultimate goal would be to make a deep run. Yes, year one, you won 9 games. Year two, you did make the SEC championship game, but you lost to Georgia. You did make the college football playoff, and you did win a playoff game on the road. You did, but you did lose in game two in an embarrassing way to Indiana. So there was some improvement, but we all know, Christian, Alabama doesn't compete against the rest of college football. Alabama competes against itself. And when you look at when you look at the history of Alabama against itself, what does it equate success to? It equates success to what did we win? Whether it was the SEC or whether it was a national championship, what did Alabama win? And when you look at this past season, yes, it got to the college football playoff. It didn't get far. Yes, it got to the SEC championship game, but like I said, it got beat by Georgia. So it did not achieve the ultimate goal, which is the reason why, you know, Joel Klatt said what he said. It's just about you got to achieve the ultimate goal here.
Yeah, and I think it just, you know, all depends on how you're really, I guess, grading it, right? I mean, because, again, surface level, if you just say, hey, you know, you went from 9-3 regular season, 10-2, trip to the SEC championship game, playoff appearance, playoff win. Without a doubt, Alabama improved on that front, right, in terms of how far they got. We all can agree on that. But I do believe there is an argument to be made if you really pop the hood and really diagnose this football team from, you know, 2024, 2025, some of the issues that they had in both seasons and kind of what they were truly, right, as a whole. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, half of the year, I would say Alabama's offense was one of the best in the country. But as a whole, when you look at, you combine some of the deficiencies that we still had and some of the shortcomings, especially later on in the year, I think it definitely is a little bit more of an argument to be made from Joel Klatt's perspective. So I'm just curious kind of what you thought about that. Steven, before we let you run, man, I got a quick question about this, man. The offensive line has just kind of been a topic that I've been talking about recently. And Adrian Klemm comes in. I know Coach DeBoer spoke really highly of him. I think they asked him about him not long ago, man. Just tell me your confidence level. We talk about some of those deficiencies. We know the running game and the offensive line being one of those. Your confidence level in Adrian Klemm's ability to really get this offensive line play where it needs to be this upcoming season. Because personally, I feel like they're the key to unlock the true success of this team, man. If they can be a lot better, this football team will ultimately be a lot better. How confident are you that this offensive line will be that much better or better enough this upcoming year to ultimately help this offense out?
On a scale of 1 to 10, Christian, I give it a 7 for Adrian Klemm. I think he can get it better enough. I mean, this is a guy that former NFL player, former 3-time Super Bowl champion, right, during his time with the New England Patriots. I mean, he was under Bill Belichick. He knows what winning looks like and winning at the highest level looks like. And so, of course, in his coaching career so far in college, he's been on some big stages. He's developed some very good offensive linemen, and some offensive linemen have helped running backs have, you know, 1,000-yard seasons, whether it be in college or whether it be in the pros. So my confidence meter in him, I would give him a 7. I think he can get it there. The main thing will be is, like I mentioned, this offseason, this summer, how quickly can these guys gel together? How quickly can they mold together, form together? And as you know, Christian, once we get into fall camp, you know, and those new installs, how quickly can these guys, you know, grasp the new installs and gel with that as well? But just as a confidence meter, I give him a 7.
I think that's very fair. My biggest thing, I like him as a coach. I think my biggest question is, does he have the pieces this year to ultimately get that job?
Yeah.
And that's one of my biggest question marks I have in this whole situation. Steven, thank you so much for being patient. Always a pleasure. I'll make sure for sure. Next Wednesday, pencil
you
in.
You do not blame yourself, Brian. You don't do that.
No, I hold myself accountable. Flag on the play. That is on me. 12 o'clock sharp Wednesday next week. Stephen M. Smith, the Touchdown Alabama Magazine, will be right here live on the Miller's Edge. Stephen, you have a great rest of your day, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Take care, Christian. Be easy.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal, man. Shout out to Steve, man. Check out all the work that he does over at Touchdown Alabama Magazine. That they put out content. I think they put out videos as well. Of course, he writes a lot on their website, so make sure you guys check them out, Touchdown Alabama Magazine. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come
flowers at 514 Hargrove Road East in Tuscaloosa. Make her smile on Mother's Day with one call to Stephanie's Flowers, 345-3074.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Deer season is going on now through June 3rd. Visit johndeere.com/deerseason to enter and view the offers and complete contest rules. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy and breezy this afternoon, a chance of showers, the high 81. Thunderstorms arrive tonight, and those storms could be severe, the low 63. Dry air returns tomorrow, the sky becoming partially sunny, the high at 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! Hey, welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, man. We're doing a lot of talking about these big changes coming to college football, but don't forget about the big old changes over at Lamparello Law. Remember, Lamparello-Law.com website just dropped, man. Make sure you guys go check it out for all your representation needs. Not just that, for academic and career planning, they've got you guys covered, whether you're high school, college, or graduate students, or you have some of yourself, man. They'll help out with test-taking preparation, subject matter mastery, all that academic and career planning. Make sure you guys are on the right track. And, of course, for all your representation needs, whether it's academic misconduct, could be any criminal defense matter. Hopefully you guys aren't in those situations, but you never know what can come up, man. That's why you always want to have some good representation on your side. And look no further than Lamparello Law, one of our partners here on the show. Adam joins us every Thursday. You hear that conviction in his voice. He's genuine. He's going to fight for you. And most importantly, man, he's going to do it at a very affordable rate, man. They'll beat out anybody else that you can find. So make sure you check out their website for all those details. You can even schedule a consultation there with Adam and his team. 201-335-6691 is their phone number. You can find it on the website as well as the email, adam@lamparello-law. Again, that is Lamparello Law, the official representation of us here on the Miller's Edge. That said, Reed, any last minute thoughts, man, before we get out of here? I mean, that's the conversation was literally the whole time, these big changes, man. Should we go ahead and put like an RIP conference title games, man? Like, when Greg Burnett mentioned that, I kind of was like, oh no, I hope that's not the case. I'm like, they're not going to do that. People aren't going to get rid of the SEC championship game. But sounds like that actually is about to happen, man. I mean, are we sad? Are we jumping the gun? Should we just wait, or do we feel like it's pretty much it's a done deal?
I think we give it some time. Okay, you know, just let this whole thing play out. But if you look ahead, even, you know, a couple years, maybe even the next 2 or 3 years, it's not looking great for at least college football.
My understanding is it's too late for them to try to jump, because I think this was a question somebody was asking about when would this take place. Good news is it can't happen right away. You're going to have the 12-team playoff this upcoming year. But I do think if they do go ahead and agree on this 2014 playoff and termination of conference championship games, that could start as soon as 2027, which we all know how fast time flies. Guys, it's already May. It feels like it just became 2026, right? So probably be here before we know it. That'll do it for us on this Wednesday edition. Big thanks to Reed, Chase, you guys behind the glass, all of our listeners via radio, all of our streams. We appreciate you guys and look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.